Theodore Geisel, best known as Dr. Seuss, collaborated on the 1953 children's movie The 5,000 Fingers of Dr. T, then largely ignored Hollywood. Since his death in 1991, however, two big-budget live-action adaptations of his most famous works have featured top comedians in heavy makeup. First Jim Carrey as the Grinch, now Mike Myers as the Cat in the Hat. Film critic David Edelstein is aghast that his five-year-old loved the new movie.
You see some scary stuff when you go to the movies, but for the kind of thing that Alex in A Clockwork Orange saw when they gave him a nausea drug and pried his eyes open with wires and screened atrocity footage, you have to get in line for the new Cat in the Hat picture with Mike Myers. I think it's one of the most repulsive children's movies ever made, a sloppy and vulgar burlesque of one of the great writers of the 20th century. Let me put this charge in context. When Theodore Geisel began writing his books for children more than half a century ago, they served as a wild corrective to the Dick and Jane school of moral hygiene. In a universe of parents always trying to rein in kids, often for the kids' own good, not to mention the good of furniture and upholstery, the Cat in the Hat gave permission for the most noisy and frenzied sort of destruction. Destruction that even horrified the kids, who'd internalized some of their parents' edginess. But there's more than just liberating anarchism in the books of Dr. Seuss. There's also high elegance. The cat might be a force of disorder, but he's disorder in a top hat and bow tie and white gloves. He's the most radiantly serene of tricksters. The miracle of Dr. Seuss is in that balance between chaos and formality. It's that all that pandemonium arrives in meticulous stanzas of almost perfect anapestic tetrameter. What Mike Myers and director Bo Welch and a battery of screenwriters have done is turn the Cat in the Hat into Austin Powers with furballs. It's a low-camp universe in which a vaguely 1950s conformity is undermined by scatological humor, belch and fart gags, and sniggery allusions to castration and to four-letter words. The music is grating and the colors garishly ugly, pea soup green and egg yolk yellow mixed with pink and lilac. Director Welch is a production designer who did amazing work with Tim Burton on Beetlejuice and Edward Scissorhands, but he doesn't move the camera, and he keeps all the action in the center of the frame where it congeals. We spend the first 15 minutes praying for the arrival of Myers to bring this corpse to life, then the next hour praying for an anvil to fall on his head. Myers doesn't have the lean silhouette of Dr. Seuss's cat. Physically, he's closer to Bert Lahr's Cowardly Lion, and his voice is Lahr's with a dash of coffee talk Long Island. What he sounds like is Joanne Worley from Laugh-In. In this scene, which believe it or not is one of the funniest in the movie, he's harangued by a computer-generated goldfish, while the two kids, Sally and Conrad, played by Dakota Fanning and Spencer Breslin, look on in understandable horror.
Stop this right now!
Who said that?
Me! Remember the fish? Came home in a baggie, loved me for 2 weeks, and then nothing!
The fish is talking.
Well, sure, he can talk, but is he saying anything?
No.
Hey, Socks! Can it! This cat should not be here. He should not be about. He should not be here when your mother is out.
Come on, kids. You gonna listen to him? He drinks where he pees.
You can hear how Sean Hayes, as the voice of the goldfish, rushes through the verse as if he thinks it's beneath him, and how Myers has to build the scene to a joke about peeing. As a fan of South Park and, yes, Austin Powers, I love gross-out humor as much as the next 12-year-old boy at heart. But it's not only alien to Dr. Seuss. It's third-rate Myers. The star works like mad to bring the Cat in the Hat to life. He prances around these inert frames. He even throws in a Saturday Night Live-style mock commercial that ends with his tail being whacked off. But it's wrong, and Myers must have sensed on some level that it's wrong, because that extra measure of elation in his best work is missing. The movie comes with an icky life lesson. The cat is trying to loosen up Sally and harness the creative energy of Conrad, who has run afoul of his single mom's suitor, a conniving Sharpie played by Alec Baldwin. He's the bad, repressive surrogate dad, and the cat is the good, liberating one. But it's hard to concentrate on the struggle when both dads are so revolting. What were the heirs of Dr. Seuss thinking when they took the money for this desecration? And what comes next? Horton hears a poo?
David Edelstein reviews films for Fresh Air and the online magazine Slate. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our show was produced today by Roberta Shorrock. Our engineer is Audrey Bentham. Dorothy Farabee is our administrative assistant. Sue Spolin directed the show. WHYY's executive producer of national radio programming is Elizabeth Perez Luna. Our theme music was composed by Joel Forrester and performed by the Microscopic Septet. For Terry Gross, I'm Barbara Bogave.